We have on the phone Autumn Pelche, 17-year-old from Manitoulin Island, who is the Chief Water Commissioner for the Anishinaabeg Nation and a clean water advocate known around the world. She has started a new petition called Indigenous Deserve Clean Drinking Water on change.org. Thank you very much for joining us, Autumn. First question, you've started that petition, which is something recent, but you have been advocating for a very long time about boil water advisories and clean drinking water. Tell us what a lot of First Nation communities are dealing with right now.
Well, First Nations issues is what my work is based around, and basically, well, it's not basic. This issue's not basic, but First Nations people struggle with a lot more than just boil water advisories, but boil water advisories are, of course, one of the number one things that they struggle with, with access to clean drinking water, which they don't have. And it's crazy to, like, that's kind of my point when I, with my advocacy, is that we live in a first world country. Canada is considered a first world country, but yet First Nations people in Canada are living in third world conditions. They're being treated as if they're in a third world country. Canada is a first world country, and Canada is recognized for being a wealthy country. We have the cleanest water, and we have, like, we're basically the Great Lakes are basically the suppliers for the world's water. Everybody relies on that, but it's, for me, it's crazy to think that First Nations people in Canada don't have access to clean drinking water while everyone else has access to clean drinking water. The biggest push for me is knowing that there's children that are living in these communities that literally have no idea. Some may have no idea that what it's like to have, like, clean drinking water, or just go to your tap and turn it on, brush your teeth, wash yourself. Like, some of them don't have that experience. They've never had that experience and still have never had that experience. And that's what's really crazy to me, because when I first started my advocacy, I was at a ceremony and I was 8 years old. And even at that time, that's where that idea came into my head, was knowing that all those kids running around did not know what it was like, but I knew what it was like. And so that's kind of what pushed me, because a lot of those kids don't have that same access. So
maybe you can give us some insight in terms of what communities have to deal with just to get clean water.
Well, I actually visited Attawapiskat First Nation, which is one of the communities that, of course, suffer from no access to clean drinking water. And I got to see firsthand and see it actually happening and hearing stories from youth and older people as well. But it was knowing that there in that community, there is two, like, water, I don't know, what, I forget what they called them, like watersheds, but, like, they're like two taps for the whole entire community to go to, and they have to walk to them. Some of them have to walk at least 2 kilometers to get their water. And what's really sad is I had a young girl, she was probably about, I want to say 6 or 7, who shared with me how she was really sad that her elderly grandparents that are very ill have to walk 2 kilometers every day to with buckets of water, 2 kilometers every day to get their water. That's some of the extent that they have to go to. And to think that, like, they have to literally have to walk to get their water, and not only are they elderly people, they could be single mothers, ill people in general, and it's just, nobody should really ever have to go to that extent, and that's the problem.
Since you met with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau a few years back, what has changed, if anything?
The last time I seen Justin Trudeau was 2016. That's quite a long time ago now that it's 2022. At the time, I was 12 years old, and I'm now 17, so again, that's a very long time ago. Since then, honestly, I have not seen much change within the government. More broken promises is the only change that I've seen. But I see most of the change within, like, the people and, like, the youth rather than the government. And that's honestly concerning. And to think that Justin Trudeau I'm not too sure when he made the promise or the commitment, but the commitment was to resolve all boil water advisories in First Nations communities by March 2021, I think. Obviously, it's way past March 2021, and there's still several communities that are still not able to access clean drinking water, and some of them for still over 20 years. So that's a big promise to make to communities that have been suffering for that long, and to let them down like that, that's terrible. It's horrible. I like to acknowledge that the most change is happening within the youth that I see, and that's what gives me hope.
Now, you do not have to answer this question if you don't feel comfortable, okay? But There was $10 million recently raised for the Trucker Convoy rally. I don't want to get too much into the rally or anything like that in terms of your opinion on it, but seeing that number, $10 million, rack up so easily, what are your thoughts and hopes that maybe we can do something similar for clean drinking water?
I don't necessarily have like an exact answer for that, but I guess a comment that I can make about that is how that kind of shows how ignored Indigenous issues are and how much people really don't care about them. And they're honestly, to me, they're very important, not just as an Indigenous person, but those are very important issues. And I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that question, actually.
So the petition, just talk a little bit about the goal for that.
Well, it's really just to end boil water advisories, and because that's what I advocate for mainly. My work is really just to advocate for Indigenous issues, and this petition to end boil water advisories and for First Nations people to have access to clean drinking water because they have gone so long without it. Nobody should have to live that way, Indigenous or not. This is, I guess, my way of contributing to try and fight for that access.
Has there been any sort of follow-up with the federal or provincial government with you one-on-one?
Not necessarily with, like, federal government, but I get a lot of communication with, like, my own Indigenous government and provincial government, like, within Ontario. More of just, like, support, them telling they support me and my cause and helping me spread awareness. And a lot of support from the Indigenous government, though.
Every single day, you are an inspiration. I want you to know that. It is clear across the country, across the globe. Every day you're fighting for a basic need and you haven't stopped and don't stop. But what would you like to say to a young person, a young Indigenous person, or a young girl who's listening to this?
Educate yourself, help educate others, as these are very important issues that I talk about. And I like to also say that anybody can do this work, because when I started, I literally had no idea I would be where I am today. I love saying this every time I speak with youth, is that I feel that the message is so much more stronger when the message comes from a youth, because you wouldn't necessarily think that a young person would stand up and use their voice or even make comments on these big issues, these big political issues that adults should be talking about. But that's why I feel like it's so much more powerful and important when it comes from a young person, because you really wouldn't think that they would be speaking up about these things. And I also like to say that's when you know something is wrong, because a child should not have to be speaking up. A young person should not have to be speaking up about these types of things.
And maybe speaking on inspirations, who is your inspiration?
Well, my inspiration is my Auntie Josephine, because she's the one who introduced me to this work. And she is the one who basically started water advocacy, I guess I could say. Yeah, she opened my eyes to a lot of things, not only water issues, but Indigenous issues in general. And so, yeah, she's my biggest inspiration, even though she's no longer here, and my biggest teacher, along with my mom, of course. And those are people who I really look up to, although they're not, like, super famous people. But, yeah.
You were recently named to McLean's The Power List, which is a pretty cool list. Features 50 Canadians who are forging paths, leading the debate, and shaping how we think and live. What was your reaction when you see these type of things, when you're named to these type of lists?
I'm, of course, very, very proud of my progress and getting the awareness about the Canadian water crisis in Indigenous communities, because as a youth, this is our future and we will be the ones inheriting the issues and the land. So for me to see this and know that my work is being recognized after how long I've been trying to get these things recognized is giving me more hope than I had, because when I started, these Indigenous issues were not talked about, like, and if they were, it was very, very rarely. And that's why I actually use my platform to not only speak about, like, clean boil water advisories or drinking water issues. I use it to speak about all Indigenous issues, including, like, missing and murdered Indigenous women and, like, a lot of things that have to do with racism, because I also feel very passionate about those. And I use the platform that I now have, which is now an international platform, to speak about these things, because, like I mentioned before, these issues were not talked about. And to see the more that I become more known, the issues are becoming more known. And the more that the issues are known, the more stuff has to be done about them. So you can't just, like, see it all and not do anything about it. So, because it would just look bad on everybody. But like, when I get to see that my work is being recognized, it feels really, really good.